Chapter 109. Scouts out, and so, Miss Wren, apostrophe said Mr. Eugene Rayburn, I cannot persuade you to dress me a doll? Apostrophe apostrophe, no, apostrophe replied Miss Wren snappishly. If you want one, go and buy one at the shop. Apostrophe, and my charming young goddaughter, apostrophe said Mr. Rayburn plaintively. Down in Hertfordshire, apostrophe, Humbickshire you mean, I think, apostrophe interposed Miss Wren. Apostrophe is to be put upon the cold footing of the general public, and is to derive no advantage from my private acquaintance with the court dressmaker? Apostrophe apostrophe, if it's any advantage to your charming godchild and oh, a precious godfather she has got. Apostrophe apostrophe replied Miss Wren, pricking at him in the air with her needle, to be informed, that the court dressmaker knows your tricks and your manners, you may tell her so by post, with my compliments. Apostrophe, Miss Wren was busy at her work by candlelight, and Mr. Rayburn, half amused and half vexed, and all idle and shiftless, stood by her bench looking on. Miss Wren's troublesome child was in the corner in deep disgrace, and exhibiting great wretchedness in the shivering stage of prostration from drink. Ugh, you disgraceful boy! Apostrophe apostrophe exclaimed Miss Wren, attracted by the sound of his chattering teeth. I wish they'd all drop down your throat, and play at dice in your stomach. Bo, wicked child! Be-ba, black sheep! Apostrophe apostrophe, on her accompanying each of these reproaches with a threatening stamp of the foot, the wretched creature protested with a whine. Pay 5 shillings for you indeed. Apostrophe apostrophe, Miss Wren proceeded. How many hours do you suppose it costs me to earn 5 shillings, you infamous boy? Don't cry like that, or I'll throw a doll at you. Pay 5 shillings fine for you indeed. Fine in more ways than one, I think. I'd give the dustman 5 shillings, to carry you off in the dust cart. Apostrophe, no, no, apostrophe pleaded the absurd creature. Please. Apostrophe, he's enough to break his mother's heart, is this boy, apostrophe said Miss Wren, half appealing to Eugene. I wish I had never brought him up. He'd be sharper than a serpent's tooth, if he wasn't as dull as ditch water. Look at him. There's a pretty object for a parent's eyes. Apostrophe apostrophe, assuredly, in his worse than swinish state, for swine at least fatten on their guzzling, and make themselves good to eat, he was a pretty object for any eyes. A muddling and a swipey old child, apostrophe said Miss Wren, rating him with great severity, fit for nothing but to be preserved in the liquor that destroys him, and put in a great glass bottle as a sight for other swipey children of his own pattern, if he has no consideration for his liver, has he none for his mother? Apostrophe apostrophe, yes. Duration, oh don't. Apostrophe cried the subject of these angry remarks. Oh don't and oh don't, apostrophe pursued Miss Wren. It's oh do and oh do. And why do you? Apostrophe apostrophe, won't do so anymore. Won't indeed. Pray. Apostrophe, there. Apostrophe apostrophe said Miss Wren, covering her eyes with her hand. I can't bear to look at you. Go upstairs, and get me my bonnet and shawl. Make yourself useful in some way, bad boy, and let me have your room instead of your company, for 1/2 minute. Apostrophe, obeying her, he shambled out, and Eugene Rayburn saw the tears exude from between the little creature's fingers as she kept her hand before her eyes. He was sorry, but his sympathy did not move his carelessness to do anything but feel sorry. I'm going to the Italian opera to try on, apostrophe said Miss Wren, taking away her hand after a little while, and laughing satirically to hide that she had been crying. I must see your back before I go, Mr. Rayburn. Let me first tell you, once for all, that it's of no use your paying visits to me. You wouldn't get what you want of me, no, not if you brought pincers with you to tear it out. Apostrophe, are you so obstinate on the subject of a doll's dress for my godchild? Apostrophe apostrophe, ah. Apostrophe apostrophe returned Miss Wren with a hitch of her chin. I am so obstinate. And of course it's on the subject of a doll's dress or a dress whichever you like. Get along and give it up. Apostrophe, her degraded charge had come back, and was standing behind her with the bonnet and shawl. Give 'em to me, and get back into your corner, you naughty old thing. Apostrophe apostrophe said Miss Wren, as she turned and despite him. No, no, I won't have your help. Go into your corner, this minute. Apostrophe, the miserable man, feebly rubbing the back of his faltering hands downward from the wrists, shuffled onto his post of disgrace, but not without a curious glance at Eugene in passing him, accompanied with what seemed as if it might have been an action of his elbow, if any action of any limb or joint he had, would have answered truly to his will. Taking no more particular notice of him than instinctively falling away from the disagreeable contact, Eugene, with a lazy compliment or so to Miss Wren, begged leave to light a cigar, and departed. Now you prodigal old son, apostrophe said Jenny, shaking her head and her emphatic little forefinger at her burden, you sit there till I come back. You dare to move out of your corner for a single instant while I'm gone, and I'll know the reason why. Apostrophe, with this admonition, she blew her work candles out, leaving him to the light of the fire, and, taking her big door key in her pocket and her crutch stick in her hand, marched off. Eugene lounged slowly towards the temple, smoking his cigar, but saw no more of the doll's dressmaker, through the accident of their taking opposite sides of the street. He lounged along moodily, and stopped at Charing Cross to look about him, with as little interest in the crowd as any man might take, and was lounging on again, when a most unexpected object caught his eyes. No less an object than Jenny Wren's bad boy trying to make up his mind to cross the road. A more ridiculous and feeble spectacle than this tottering wretch making unsteady sallies into the roadway, and as often staggering back again, oppressed by terrors of vehicles that were a long way off or were nowhere, the streets could not have shown. Over and over again, when the course was perfectly clear, he set out, got halfway, described a loop, turned, and went back again, when he might have crossed and recrossed half a dozen times. Then, he would stand shivering on the edge of the pavement, looking up the street and looking down, while scores of people jostled him, and crossed, and went on. Stimulated in course of time by the sight of so many successes, he would make another sally, make another loop, would all but have his foot on the opposite pavement, would see or imagine something coming, and would stagger back again. There, he would stand making spasmodic preparations, as if for a great leap, and at last, would decide on a start at precisely the wrong moment, and would be roared at by drivers, and would shrink back once more, and stand in the old spot shivering, with the whole of the proceedings to go through again. It strikes me, apostrophe remarked Eugene coolly, after watching him for some minutes, that my friend is likely to be rather behind time, if he has any appointment on hand. Apostrophe with which remark he strolled on, and took no further thought of him. Lightwood was at home, when he got to the chambers, and had dined alone there. Eugene drew a chair to the fire by which he was having his wine and reading the evening paper, and brought a glass, and filled it for good fellowship's sake. My dear Mortimer, you are the express picture of contented industry, reposing on credit after the virtuous labors of the day. Apostrophe, my dear Eugene, you are the express picture of discontented idleness not reposing at all. Where have you been? Apostrophe, I have been, apostrophe replied Rayburn, apostrophe about town. I have turned up at the present juncture, with the intention of consulting my highly intelligent and respected solicitor on the position of my affairs. Apostrophe, your highly intelligent and respected solicitor is of opinion that your affairs are in a bad way, Eugene. Apostrophe, though whether, apostrophe said Eugene thoughtfully, that can be intelligently said, now, of the affairs of a client who has nothing to lose, and who cannot possibly be made to pay, may be open to question. Apostrophe, you have fallen into the hands of the Jews, Eugene. Apostrophe, my dear boy, apostrophe returned the debtor, very composedly taking up his glass, having previously fallen into the hands of some of the Christians, I can bear it with philosophy. Apostrophe, I have had an interview today, Eugene, with a Jew, who seems determined to press us hard. Quite a Shylock, and quite a patriarch. A picturesque gray-headed and gray-bearded old Jew, in a shovel hat and gabardine. Apostrophe, not, apostrophe said Eugene, pausing and setting down his glass, surely not my worthy friend Mr. Aaron? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he calls himself Mr. Raya. Apostrophe, by the by, apostrophe said Eugene, it comes into my mind, that no doubt with an instinctive desire, to receive him into the bosom of our church I gave him the name of Aaron. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Eugene, Eugene, apostrophe returned Lightwood, you are more ridiculous than usual. Say what you mean. Apostrophe, merely, my dear fellow, that I have the honor and pleasure of a speaking acquaintance with such a patriarch as you describe, and that I address him as Mr. Aaron, because it appears to me Hebraic, expressive, appropriate, and complimentary. Notwithstanding which strong reasons for its being his name, it may not be his name. Apostrophe, I believe you are the absurdest man on the face of the earth. Apostrophe said Lightwood, laughing. Not at all, I assure you. Did he mention that he knew me? Apostrophe, he did not. He only said of you that he expected to be paid by you. Apostrophe, which looks, apostrophe remarked Eugene with much gravity, like not knowing me. I hope it may not be my worthy friend Mr. Aaron, for, to tell you the truth, Mortimer, I doubt he may have a prepossession against me. I strongly suspect him of having had a hand in spiriting away Lizzie. Apostrophe, everything, apostrophe returned Lightwood impatiently, seems, by a fatality, to bring us round to Lizzie. About town meant about Lizzie, just now, Eugene. Apostrophe, my solicitor, do you know, apostrophe observed Eugene, turning round to the furniture, is a man of infinite discernment. Apostrophe, apostrophe, did it not, Eugene? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes it did, Mortimer. Apostrophe, and yet, Eugene, you know you do not really care for her. Apostrophe, Eugene Rayburn rose, and put his hands in his pockets, and stood with a foot on the fender, indolently rocking his body and looking at the fire. After a prolonged pause, he replied, I don't know that. I must ask you not to say that, as if we took it for granted. Apostrophe, but if you do care for her, so much the more should you leave her to herself. Apostrophe, having again paused as before, Eugene said, I don't know that either. But tell me, did you ever see me take so much trouble about anything, as about this disappearance of hers? I ask for information. Apostrophe, my dear Eugene, I wish I ever had. Apostrophe, apostrophe, then you have not? Just so. You confirm my own impression. Does that look as if I cared for her? I ask for information. Apostrophe, I asked you for information, Eugene, apostrophe said Mortimer reproachfully. Dear boy, I know it, but I can't give it. I thirst for information. What do I mean? If my taking so much trouble to recover her does not mean that I care for her, what does it mean? If Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled pepper, where's the peck? And see question mark apostrophe, though he said this gaily, he said it with a perplexed and inquisitive face, as if he actually did not know what to make of himself. Look on to the end apostrophe Lightwood was beginning to remonstrate, when he caught at the words. Ah, see now, that's exactly what I am incapable of doing. How very acute you are, Mortimer, in finding my weak place. When we were at school together, I got up my lessons at the last moment, day by day and bit by bit. Now we are out in life together, I get up my lessons in the same way. In the present task I have not got beyond this. I am bent on finding Lizzie, and I mean to find her, and I will take any means of finding her that offer themselves. Fair means or foul means are all alike to me. I ask you for information. What does that mean? When I have found her, I may ask you also for information. What do I mean now? But it would be premature in this stage, and it's not the character of my mind. Apostrophe, Lightwood was shaking his head over the air with which his friend held forth thus an air so whimsically open and argumentative as, almost to deprive what he said of the appearance of evasion, when a shuffling was heard at the outer door, and then an undecided knock, as though some hand were groping for the knocker. The frolicsome youth of the neighborhood, apostrophe said Eugene, whom I should be delighted to pitch from this elevation into the churchyard below, without any intermediate ceremonies, have probably turned the lamp out. I am on duty tonight, and will see to the door. Apostrophe, his friend had barely had time to recall the unprecedented gleam of determination with which he had spoken of finding this girl, and which had faded out of him with the breath of the spoken words, when Eugene came back, ushering in a most disgraceful shadow of a man, shaking from head to foot, and clothed in shabby grease and smear. This interesting gentleman, apostrophe said Eugene, is the son, the occasionally rather trying son, for he has his failings, of a lady of my acquaintance. My dear Mortimer, Mr. Dawes. Apostrophe Eugene had no idea what his name was, knowing the little dressmakers to be assumed, but presented him with easy confidence under the first appellation that his association suggested. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.